Amen. Good morning, church. Yeah, I've been looking forward to this day for a while. I would say that I have something special for you today, but I'm going to say it like this. There's something special happening here at this church. And just so you don't think that it's, I favor you guys over other churches. Put the picture up, please, Tim. This is last night. These are your His Place Grab and Give Bagpackers. That's how many people showed up last night to pack bags. We packed 1,000 bags in 45 minutes. That tells me a couple things. We can do it, and we can do 2,000. Because that'd be about 2 hours, right? That's a good hang right there. So, focus, Jonesy. Take a good look at these people, because this is you. These people have lives, kids, struggles. You know, they got everything going on that you got to go on. And I'm showing you these people not to make you feel guilty. Really. Because that's you. Because see, some of these people next month, they're going to have stuff to do like you did last night. See what I'm saying? So I'm inviting you to this. Because this is who we are. And it's going to be going on forever now. So once a month, or maybe twice a month, we'll see. We'll see what God does. But once a month, we're going to get together. And let me tell you how much fun we had last night, guys. We had a blast, for real. So please, be a part of this. And so I don't know if you saw these, you know, when you were coming in, but we have bags now. So when you leave here today, I want you to take at least 2 bags per person and commit to giving them away during your week, during your coming and going. Are there any people here that don't live in Orange County? Raise your hand. You see all these hands? All your bags will be going abroad. See what I mean? I want you to adopt like a homeless person that lives around in your neighborhood. You see him all the time. He's there on the corner, or she. They're there all the time. Or maybe you haven't seen him yet. Now you're going to see him. Because you got something to give. Okay, because we know at this church that you can give. You have something to give already. But we feel that if we empower you, you got a gift. Then you'll take the initiative. And look, our whole thing here, we, is that we establish the mindset of we give when we're in the valley, we give on the mountaintop. We give when we're in bad moods, we give when we're in good moods. We give when we're struggling, and we give when we're delivered. Amen? We just give here. Through all our process, we've been taught to give. Amen? All right. So another cool thing, where do these cards keep going? Can somebody hand me the salvation card, please? Happy birthday, Sandy. It's Pastor Sandy's birthday. I love you, sister. You bless this community and you bless my life, truly. Everybody got one of these walking in. They better have. Ushers. No. Everybody got one of these walking in. And on one side is the sinner's prayer. And on the other side is the address to our church. And I wanted to give you this because this one goes in your wallet. This one goes in your purse. If you are scared to share your faith because you don't know what to say, you have this in your pocket for a couple reasons. One, you're saved. I want this to remind you that you belong to God. On those days when you're, especially if you're a new Christian, and you're having a hard time, nobody seems to be picking up the phone, and you're in a bad place, I want you to read this card. And I want you to remember who you are. Another thing is there's a prayer on here. So if you're ever scared to lead somebody to Christ, I mean, here's all you got to do is whip it out of your wallet. Just be brave enough to approach somebody to do it. But you've got a weapon now. You are empowered. I am sending you out. God is sending you out. This church is sending you out with weapons. Amen? These bags and this card are seeds. These are seeds that we're scattering all over the place. And each one card is in each of these bags. Okay? So that's another cool thing. Because we're all in process, right? Some of you are more brave to share your faith than others. And that's true, and that's okay. But I want everybody giving and everybody stepping out of their comfort zone and you know, getting closer. So if the best that you can do right now is, hey, hang in there. God bless you. I love you. And so does Jesus. You know, whatever. Get along with your day. If that's the best you can do, well done. Well done. Because God will do the rest. I'm convinced. See, I was telling God. I was telling, we got good people there, God. His place, they're full. They're broken, and they're good, God. Do something great with us. And he's doing it. Okay, listen. People make movies about other people who do the will of God. This Jesus Revolution, great movie I heard. I haven't seen it yet. I have sat in a room with a bunch of guys that were there, though. And they said it's an accurate movie, by the way. But here's the thing. I want to be the church that somebody wants to make a movie about. This church is crazy, man. They're all broken people and they're really jacked up out of the world and they just get radically saved and they just give and give and give and give. It's a trip. It's a trip. Their marriages get better and man, let me tell you, some of them should not be married at all. Shouldn't have. But now they're incredible. They're leading our marriage counseling. You know what I mean? That's what he's doing here. That's what's happening here. There's restoration here. There's a recovery here. There's deliverance here. There's salvation here. And what we are doing is we're just corporately getting together and we're saying, yes, God, we believe you. We believe we can work as a unit. And as you sanctify us, as you grow us up, as you conform us into your image, use us to bless others wherever we're at. Amen? Okay, so we'll just transition into the message now because I'm not going to send you out without empowering you first. So the scripture that I'm going to use, and first service, I got 45 minutes to stick in 30. So that's what we're going to do. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 14 is where I'm going to really just pick through. And this is Jesus sending out the 12 disciples. It's on. He's been teaching them and teaching them and being with them, correcting them, loving them. And now it's time. Now it's time to go. And so we'll pick it up in verse 5. He names them all. It's not important today. So I'm just going to start in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out. Excuse me, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no towns of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go in saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who's worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. So, Jesus originally told the disciples not to go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. Samaritans or Gentile Jew mix, which back then, you know, half breeds, whatever. They were looked down on by the Jews. So they were included with the Gentiles. And Jesus said this particularly knowing when he says, don't go there, it's not that he didn't want to save us. It just wasn't time. You see, this was an initial attack of the gospel, and he knew that if he went to people that were already versed in the word of God, this would get the ball rolling. The Gentiles will get saved. Here, we're all here. Amen. But for now, he just instructs them to go there. So I just want to quickly give you that, but it's verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, who's the lost sheep? How do we know who his are? People come in all shapes and sizes. We come from all kinds of backgrounds and different kinds of classes of, you know, whatever, you know, just we come from all different types. You never know where a person's at. And this is what I love about this church is I don't really have to hammer this too much because we give a lot of grace here. We're very accepting of people. We understand you're in process. But I just need to reiterate that as we go out into the world, God's kids are dirty, gross junkies. And they're, you know, some millionaires that are super clean, that have nice cars. You know, it's and everything in between. Okay? I'm just giving you perspective. God saves anybody he wants, how he wants, when he wants. And so we can't go, oh, well, you know, no, they're too far gone. Thank God nobody did that with us. Because I know, well, maybe some people did, amen? I just don't know that. Oh, there's Jonesy. Ugh. Could be. But here's a little thing, and I'm not going to camp on this too long because I tried to camp on it in first service and it bogged me down, and we got to go. Romans 8:29-30, though, I'm going to read to you. For those whom he, Jesus, foreknew, he also predestined, or the Father, excuse me, for those whom he, the Father, foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And I'm just going to stop there. He predestined you and I before the foundation of the world. His elect ran over his mind and he said yes. And he came up with the full plan of your life and said it was good. Now, I tell you this for a couple reasons. One, it should bring comfort in knowing that you, when you are truly born again, when you are truly, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot lose your salvation. Okay? And to show, and it just to show you that you didn't even earn it. I mean, there's nothing you can do, and you didn't find God. You didn't go, you know what, Jesus? It's time. Come on in. I'm opening up. He chose you. It's his spirit in that moment of you going, oh. That's the regeneration. That's God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. A person that is dead cannot bring themselves back to life. It must be the God who created them. So, and I want to comfort those who have children, because our children can go sideways and do crazy things and really drive us crazy when it comes to their salvation. I want to bring up a promise for parents. There is a promise in Deuteronomy, Old Testament. I mean, let's go back, right? God, you said this. Remember, you know? He said, if you hold my law and my precepts in your heart. You hold them in high esteem. I will bless your children and I will bless your grandchildren. Amen. Does it? Great grandchildren too? Great grandchildren too. See, read the word, Jonesy. Your children's children and your children's children's children. Okay, so what does that say? Your job, parent, is to obey God. He said, if you obey me, if you're my kid, if you hold your precepts in my heart, I will bless your children. That doesn't mean bad things don't happen, but it does mean they're eternally secure. So which one are you more concerned about, mom and dad? Because for me, I want my kids with Jesus for the rest of eternity. Whatever they're doing right now and all this stuff, yeah, it drives me crazy. I worry about them. But I'm more concerned with eternal. Once their eternal salvation is secure, here's the thing. It is. You see, it's so big that I even need to roll it over in my mind. It's big. But if you're going to focus on anything, focus on the Word of God. Focus on transforming your life and your mind and your faith to walk with God in such a way that you can go, you know what? My kids are blessed. My grandkids are blessed. My great-grandkids are blessed in Jesus' name. I'm going to stand on that. And I'm going to, you know, I will walk as if. I will walk as if. Matthew, verse 7. So we'll just move on. I just wanted to share that with you to get you some, okay. Things can get crazy and God is true. Things can get crazy and God's word is not phased. And he said, as you go looking for the lost sheep, right? So we go up to whomever because we don't know who they are. We're open to anything. Tell me, Holy Spirit, you speak to me. But as I go, what did Jesus tell me to do? He said, proclaim as you go. Proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, Matthew chose not to use the word God here because he's a Jew and they didn't say, you know, God's name. So he uses heaven here. But literally in other gospels, it says the kingdom of God is at hand. And also they would put repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And this is key. This is key as you go out and you share your faith. The biggest thing you can share with somebody, and you do it in your way, is, hey, you know, we're all sinners. And God came and sacrificed himself. I'm not exactly sure how this all works, but Jesus Christ gave his life for me and you. And the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is kind of like the wind, and I believe that's biblical too. Jesus said, hey, you don't see where the wind goes, but you can feel it. You know it's here. The kingdom of God is the same thing. And when it says at hand, it means it's the kingdom of God is here, but not yet. It's already not yet. It's already here. You can feel it. We are part of his kingdom. He's building his kingdom, but it's not yet fulfilled. There's something for us to look forward to at the return of our King, at the return of Jesus Christ, and bringing us to that fruition of the fullness of the glory of God and salvation. The Greek word for proclaim is caruso. To preach, often urging acceptance of the message with warnings of consequences for not doing so. And I mean, that's heavy. And I know that's heavy for a lot of you guys because you're like, dude, I'm not sharing my faith. I don't know enough. And I get that. I'm just being honest because I know, right? I want you walking away today empowered. Not like, you know, well, that was a good sermon, but I'm sure all those guys will do a great job at that. I don't want that. Not for one of you. Not for one. I want everybody leaving today going, yeah, I'm going to go get bags away to the homeless. I only know a little bit, but that's fine. I know how to love. I know how to love. We all know how to love. Amen? Verse 8 says, heal the sick. What are we supposed to do as we go and proclaim? What are we supposed to be doing? Well, heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse lepers. Cast out demons. You received without paying. Give without pay. I know some of you are just like, what? I'm going to do what? But you are, church. You do, in fact. And let me explain. Heal the sick. Come on. Have you ever laid hands on somebody, prayed for them to be well? That's what we do. We lay hands on the sick and, Lord Jesus, I pray you would heal them. It's out of obedience. Totally. And I do it with expectation. You should too. And fight those, that non-belief, that unbelief, that, you know, yeah, okay, be healed, but you know, I'm not really. Here's a little secret. It's got nothing to do with you. Don't worry about it. Lay hands on him. It's him. He's healing them, not you. See what I mean? So don't get it twisted. It's all good. Just lay hands. Lay hands. All right? Keep it up. 15 minutes we got, baby. Come on. Raise the dead. Well, that definitely, I'm not going to take this ever off the table, but it does include somebody dropping dead right in front of you and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Bing! Oh, thank you. I'm not taking that off the table, but I want to give you something more applicable because you might not be doing that every day. I want to give you something you'll be doing every day. Raising dead things is one, you share the gospel of Jesus and somebody gives their life to Jesus, they're born again. You just raise somebody from the dead back to life. Okay? You're talking to somebody at work and they go, oh my God, I'm going through a divorce. It's just so bad. My heart aches. It's just dying. They're dead. There's a dead place in her marriage or his marriage. Speak life to her. Speak life to him. Hey, let me pray for you. Hey, you know what? We got some marriage counseling going on at my church. You know, or whatever, but you can share life because you do have the words of life in you, church. And see, these are opportunities to raise the dead. Raise the dead things in their life and speak life into them. Even if it just makes them have a better day that day. That's good. Cleanse lepers. Well, there's not too many arms just falling off, ramble, you know, anymore. But I say this to you, church. Addiction's just like leprosy. You know? People are like, I don't know. Jonesy's here. It's a lot being like a leper. Strung out. People hate you. I mean, you know, your family loves you, but they're disappointed. It's a disease. People that get clean in this church share their experience, strength, and hope with other people like that. And that person gets cleansed of the leprosy of addiction. And that happens in this church all the freaking time. Praise God. Cast out demons. We'll just leave that one literal. How's that? That will happen. Sometimes. And it could even, you know, just watching a person's life go from living in darkness to light is satisfying. But, you know, I have cast out a few demons in my career of being a Christian and, you know, be ready for it. Let me tell you something. All you got to do is say, come out in the name of Jesus. You don't need to be, you don't ever have to be scared of anything evil, anything dark, any shadow, any demonic entity. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus. The darkness has to flee when you show up with the light. In fact, I prophesy over you his place. You are the light. And the demonic has to flee even when you show up. They'll get, there's a real Christian here. You received without paying. Give without pay. Free. Salvation is free. What have we been given though? Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. This is the free gift of salvation we have been given. We have been justified. We have been justified through faith alone. Okay? It's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Okay? It's nothing you and I could ever do, but it's our faith in Jesus Christ, that God loved us so much that he sent himself into a virgin he specially picked out to obey. And she did. And they logged it down. They wrote it down. She had a baby. He lived for 30 years, sinless, in thought, word, or deed. He got baptized. The Holy Spirit descends, the Father speaks, and the Trinity is present, and they wrote it down for us so we would know when everybody was going crazy and they didn't know what gender they were, we would have truth. You see what I'm saying? When things get way messy and I don't even know where the lines are, I know where to go. Truth. The truth, and the fact is, when Jesus Christ was crucified, the greatest of all time, the greatest human that ever lived, was crucified, was beaten and crucified. And when he was crucified, God poured out his wrath on him. God decided that he would be the sacrifice once and for all for mankind. Because of love, not anger, not hate, absolute passion for you and for me. That he would pour out his wrath, his anger, and penalize his son so that a substitution would happen. So that my dirty, gross life would be nailed on the cross with Jesus. And then he would give me his perfect, holy life so that I get to stand before a perfect, holy God and I get to live life, not in condemnation. I don't live it perfect. I still sin, church, but now I know that I have grace with me. I have a God that loves me and I have his word inside of me that it in of itself washes my mind. People think that, amen. People think that being a Christian is getting brainwashed, and they're right. It is getting brainwashed, and we need washing every single day. It is the grace of God through Jesus Christ is that we have life today. You know, it's an after effect that your life gets better. It's like an also. And your life gets better. Because I don't want to sit up here and tell you, oh, you give your life to Jesus, it's your best life now. No, man. Listen. You give your life to Jesus, and you will understand what life, real life, is truly about. Because life ain't about grinding it out Monday through Friday and giving them another rip a check off and pay them and make sure everybody's okay, fed, went to school, this, da-da-da-da-da-da. That is good, and we should take care of our families with excellence. But all we are doing is surviving in the belly of the beast, okay? There's more to that. There's the spirituality of the whole thing and the fact that you're put on this earth to glorify God, to bless others, and to shine His light. And I mean, and to minister His good news. And I know a lot of you are like, that's where I'm like, sharing, you know, it's hard. I want to tell you this. There's a phrase that I love. This phrase: preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. But here's the thing. I love that statement, and it's true. You should be living like you love Jesus. But don't hide behind that statement. Because your words, see, God doesn't need you and I, but He chose us as the vehicle to spread the gospel. He uses His kids. That's why. Be obedient. Don't worry about the outcome. Just get out there, slugger. Get out there in love. Get out there in the mix. Not everybody's called to this. Not everybody's called. I mean, I'm not telling you to write a sermon and go stand on the corner. You can. You absolutely can. I'm telling you that you're an evangelist. Right where you are, right how you are. Just be open to share how you share. You don't have to specifically share scripture. You could share, hey man, I started going to this church last week, and it's cool. I don't understand everything, but God's Spirit's there. You want to go? You just evangelized. But don't be scared to share the love of Jesus either. And I want you to know that's a real thing because I experienced it. And I still do to some degree. Should I share right now? The temptation is, are they going to be offended? Are they going to be offended if I come at them with Christ? Because the world has made it seem like if Jesus is the only way, you're a hater. If Jesus is the only way to God, you're mean. Because everybody should get to go in any way that they want because God's love, right? You see, that is false doctrine. That is a worldly view and so filled with pride. Because it's the pride of man that separates us from God. It's the sin. It's our worst sin is that we think we're God. Repentance is an important lifestyle choice. We have received the Spirit of God. We have received supernatural, eternal love and forgiveness. And we have been justified by grace through faith in Christ. That's enough for us to share as we go. I'm going to prophesy you over you guys his place. I'm going to use the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. You are filled with the Spirit of God. You are called to go minister love and light and forgiveness to a lost and dying world that are very desperate for healing, for deliverance, for salvation. Jesus said, don't acquire any gold or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, no tunic, no sandals. Why? when we go, we don't go as we, usually when we go to complete a task, we make sure we have everything. Do you have everything? Are you prepared? Did you grab everything you need to go accomplish this over here? Jesus said, don't do any of that. This, I just want you and me. I'll provide. You have faith. I'll provide all those things for you. You just go. Don't worry about what you need, what you have, what you don't have. You have me. Go. Amen? So, 5 minutes. People, places, and things will come and go as the Lord allows. His sovereign will is always happening. And he will provide food, shelter, clothing, water, and anything else we need. He said, don't worry. Don't worry. Focus on the mission. Focus on my goodness. Focus on my love. Focus on the fact that I am a provider. I am a healer. And I will never, I will... I will be faithful, says the Lord. And whatever village or town you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. The Greek word for worthy is axios, which really just means deserving or advisable. So it's not like I'm going, is that person worthy for me to minister to or not? And judging them. I'm not doing that. That's not what this word means. It means I'm using discernment and I'm seeing if they're advisable. Are they willing to take anything in for me right now? Are they advisable? Because Jesus is being specific. Don't waste your time, is what he's saying. With somebody that's dead in sin, that's just going to mock you. And it's like, we pray for them and they're not out of the game. They might just be, you know, they were predestined to be with Jesus, but they're still 10 years from getting saved. You don't know, I don't know, but don't waste your time if you're getting blowback, right? But he's also saying this. Wherever you go, engage. Wherever you go, find out who's there. Be intentional. Yeah, that's what he's saying. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. This is beautiful. First, he says, be nice. When you roll up on somebody, greet them. I like to use this way. Hi. For me, it's the most non-threatening way that somebody like me can roll up on somebody, you know? I like to be as non-threatening as I can. So I go, hi. So be nice. Be nice when you don't be misrepresenting Christ, right? Don't roll up on somebody all twisted up. And again, he says, and if the house is advisable, let your peace come upon it. So you see, you have something from God. You have the peace of Jesus Christ, the peace of the Holy Spirit. And you can allow that to rest where you go. It actually will take, it's what commands the room, if you're aware of it. But you have a peace. You carry an anointing. And if it's not advisable, don't sweat it. Come on back, peace. You mine. You know what I mean? You don't need to nut up on them. You don't gotta, you know, you don't have to, you know, get all crazy. You don't even have to get offended or sad. You don't. Okay. I can't save anybody. I can't, you know, this sermon's okay, but it's not going to save you. But the God that the sermon is about has and will. Last thing, and I'm going to close. It's 12:30. I think I did pretty good. Oh, and I wish I could, dude. If anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Shake it off, champ. Shake it off. It's okay. Maybe some other time. You know, I'm ministering to my son right now. Like I said, I stand on the promise of that young man is saved. You just don't know it yet. But I minister to him with peace, and when he starts going no, okay, cool. You want to go to the gym? You know, it's okay. It's okay. This is about relationship too, guys. He told them to go to the house and stay in it to build relationship with these people. You know, it's not just about showing up and praying for somebody and just splitting. You know, it is that. And that's why we have these bags, for those opportunities that aren't, you know, with us every day. But there's an opportunity for us to all minister to our families, our friends, our, you know, the people that we come in contact with. That's your world. That's your pulpit. This is your time. And I'm going to close with this. You've been empowered today with the gospel. You have a fresh, you know, you got fed with a fresh helping of the gospel today. Jesus Christ died for you and me. Dead in our sin, now we're alive. We were blind, now we can see. We were dead, now we have life. We were plagued with anxiety and addiction and depression and anger, and now we're being delivered day after day, year after year. I want you to know that as you grow, as God sanctifies you, as God heals you, as he ministers to you and starts to wash your mind and change your mind, you are equipped to preach the gospel, even where you're at right now, even in your brokenness. And like I said, it could be simple. You and your God, you and the Holy Spirit, just you two, you will minister the way it was supposed to be done in that moment to exactly who it was supposed to be done to. And I want you guys to rest in that. I want you guys leaving here today feeling empowered by the Holy Spirit, feeling empowered by the knowledge of your resurrected life in Jesus Christ, and the fact that no devil in hell, no man on earth can ever take that away from you. I want you to walk away today feeling empowered to do that just like you do it. Not like I do it, not like Joe does it, but like you do it. Because God made you to preach the way you preach. Amen? Okay, so before we close, in case there's anybody here, there was one guy in last service. It was beautiful. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you thought what you thought about salvation, and today you're like, wow, now I really understand. Now I want to pray with you. And it's not the prayer that saves you. It's us praying to God that saves you. It's you opening up your heart and saying, yes, finally, yes, Lord. Yes, be my Lord, be my Savior. So if there's anybody who's never given their life to Jesus, or you've backslidden and you want to pray again today, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. Don't be scared, don't worry, but we good? Oh, I see your hand, hallelujah. All right, amen. All right, brother. Hi, come here, brother. Anybody else too, but let's pray. Repeat this prayer after me. Father God in heaven.
Father God in heaven.
Thank you for your son, Jesus.
Thank you for your son, Jesus.
I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
And I need a Savior.
And I need a Savior.
I ask you.
I ask you.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And change me.
And change me.
I ask you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
And make your word come alive to me.
And make your word come alive to me.
Today I'm changed.
Today I'm changed.
Today I'm saved.
Today I'm saved.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, bro. Hallelujah. All right, church. Get him, Jesus. Father God, I thank you for your church. I thank you for these beautiful, broken, powerful, powerhouse people. Father God, fill them right now with your Holy Spirit. Send them out into their families, into their workplace, into their culture, and shine. God, let your love shine. God, I pray for a braveness and a passion for you and your word like never before. May each and every one of us live, preach, and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ this week and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys.